Podcasting 2.0 for October 31st, 2025, episode 240, Open Sources People. Hey, everybody. It's that spooky time of year, which means time for another board meeting. That's all we really do here. It's time to talk about podcasting, everything that's been going on in our world and yours and in the world of podcasting. We are the board meeting. In fact, this board meeting is the only boardroom that doesn't require age verification. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. The only man who can never be included in a reduction in force. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
I am force reduction. That is the definition of Dave, force reduction.
Force reduction, yes. No, yes. We cannot riff you. You're unriffable.
I'm unriffable.
You are unriffable, yes. We can get rid of everybody, but we can't get rid of you. Unriffable, we say. Unriffable.
Oh, everybody's expendable.
No. I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not saying it won't hurt. It may hurt bad.
It may sting.
But everybody's expendable.
It may sting a little bit, just a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Brother, I was so blown away.
Why?
Because all of a sudden I get a message and you've sent clips. I don't think you've sent clips in, I don't think we've had clips in a long, long time.
Weeks, yeah. I'll tell you.
Yeah. So do you want to, get to your clips, or what do you want to do first? I'm always excited. You got clips, and they're biblical.
Did I send you the right clips?
No, you sent me Solomon 1-4. So I'm like, okay.
Let's see. I need to actually get the clips on this machine. I sent them from a different machine. Where are they? It would be bad if I can't even tell what my clips are.
I'm going to think this is John Solomon, maybe. I'm just guessing.
Negatory. Negative.
It's not John Solomon. No, it gets more interesting by the moment, everybody.
This is David Solomon.
Wow. Okay.
Good timing. This is David Solomon, who is the CEO of Goldman Sachs.
Oh, okay. A douchebag, basically.
Apologies that this is a little bit maybe out of order. Because I'm going to have to, the way I number these really didn't end up being the correct
order.
Like the best order of the most ideal order.
Yeah, no problem. You just tell me what number you want. I mean, I'm a full service production guy here.
Well, so I get this Bloomberg newsletter.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got on this thing. I mean,
the question is, how do you get off of it? That's the question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You sniff in the right, when you're turned in the right direction out on the street one day, and suddenly you're on the Bloomberg newsletter.
Yeah.
Email list.
I got you.
And this thing is hilarious most of the time because it's like, it's this eloquent sort of synthesis of economic language, TDS, and just complete hogwash. It's funny. It makes it funny to read. Like, I enjoy reading it just to see what they're going to say. But the most recent thing is they blamed the nearly $40 trillion in U.S. debt on the one big beautiful bill.
Uh-huh. Yes.
which happened
hold on, Dave. We're going to grow ourselves out of it. Don't you know that by now? Stable
that's
coin and
that.
GDP.
Yes.
We're going to grow ourselves out of it. That's the plan.
Yeah. Never mind the 40 years of debt, of debt fueled expansion. Don't look at that. Through every administration, left, right, and center. Don't look at that. Just look at the most recent thing that just passed your news feed. That's the cause,
Yes.
David Solomon, CEO of Goldman Sachs, who is important to remember. Goldman Sachs, along with JP Morgan and I think about three other banks, Citibank. Somebody else is in that mix. I can't remember. There's just a handful. This is the good old boy network.
JP Morgan Chase, Citibank, Bank of America, Goldman. And then you get
I don't think what I'm talking about is these guys are primary money dealers.
Which is a Fed designation. Yeah, the guys who got wiped out in 9/11. Those guys.
A primary dealer in Fed speak is somebody who can print money. It's a bank. It's a regular bank, but they can print money. They can issue treasuries. They can do open market operations on their own without having to go through the Fed.
Yes.
And so it's important to remember that Goldman is one of the few christened money dealers in the U.S. system. And so it's when he talks, he's talking as somebody who has the ability to do these things. He's being asked about the U.S. debt in when he's talking about this is Solomon 1, the growth question.
Okay.
Well, in New York, they wouldn't be buying Treasury securities. It was such a big problem because it wouldn't be a good investment. And then the people in New York say, well, the people in Washington must know what they're doing. If they're borrowing this money, they must know how to figure out how to pay it. So. What is the story? Why is the business community not worried about, as a general rule, they don't seem to be as worried about the $38 trillion as I would have thought they would be?
Well, I speak to a lot of people in the business community, a lot of people in the financial community, and I think people are worried about the level of debt and the fact that we've reached a point, and by the way, this is true in the United States, but it's true in every developed economy, where kind of fiscal stimulus and an aggressive fiscal play is really just kind of embedded in the way these democratic economies are operating, and it's accelerated meaningfully in the last 5 years. I think the pandemic, played an accelerating role, and it doesn't seem like we have an ability to pull it back. And so we've taken the debt, in the last 15 plus years, kind of since the financial crisis, from $7 trillion to $38
trillion. Woo!
And just refinancing it for the rest of the decade, what's got to be refinanced if you look at current rates, is going to grow it into the low 40s, for sure. And we're growing our spending at a reasonable rate still. And so this is an issue we have to wrestle with. Now, the path out really isn't a revenue path out. The path out is a growth path. And, if you think about it, the difference, trend growth is 2%. The difference between compounding growth of 3% and 2% is monstrous in terms of dealing with this issue. So there's a lot of discussion about running real growth play. I think we have some things that are going on that give us a better opportunity to have a higher growth trajectory, particularly.
So actually there's 25 money guys. It does include Bank of America, Cantor Fitzgerald, that's who I was thinking of, Deutsche, Goldman, HSBC, JP Morgan, etc.
I think there's an FRBNY designation that gives you the ability to do actual direct open market operations. I think all of those guys can do they can essentially print money, mm-hmm. print dollars.
Yes.
But I don't think they can issue treasuries, which is what Goldman and them can do.
Okay.
That's a very select few.
But I do know that Cantor Fitzgerald can do that. And that's kind of controversial because our commerce secretary is the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald.
Of course he is.
Minor points.
What was interesting there towards the end, there's a couple things about this that piqued my interest. Number one, there towards the end, he said, there's a lot of, I forgot the, exact language he used to be says there's a lot of talk about doing a growth play.
Yes.
Can you play the very end of that?
Oh, yeah.
Again?
Yeah, sure. Hold on a second. Yeah.
I don't know where it starts, but
it's around here.
At a reasonable rate still. And so this is an issue we have to wrestle with. Now, the path out really isn't a revenue path out. The path out is a growth path. And, you know, if you think about it, the difference, you know, trend growth is 2%. The difference between compounding growth of 3% and 2% is monstrous in terms of dealing with this issue. So there's a lot of discussion about running, you know, real growth play. I think we have some things that are going on.
He says there's a lot of discussion about running a real growth play.
Yes.
That sounds like almost like
football.
Yeah. 42, grow. That sounds almost like he's having like sort of side discussions. This sounds like a private discussion that he's had with other people that come, that kind of leaked into his answer to this thing. Just the way he worked. It's almost like it's not, because have you heard of anybody?
Yes, actually, I have heard about
that language.
This. Yes. Okay. And I heard about this on This Week in Bitcoin. A few weeks back, actually. And Chris was talking about this. And so I think our growth rate is 3.2, which is indeed monstrous compared to 2. And part of that is tariffs coming in. Part of it is reduction in spending and some other magic. But that was always the idea, was because, you know, you go from 2 to 3. That's huge. That is big. And compounded.
So how, he's saying, he said there's a lot of ways, you know, there's ways we can do that. And this is a podcast about podcasting, and we're getting there.
Take it easy. See Brooklyn 1112. simmer down.
Yeah. This is not DH Unplugged. He's like, how are we going to do, we've got ways of grow, of generating this growth. So Solomon too, and he gives the answer. What, do you want to take a crack at what you think it is?
What's the question again? How are we going to do this?
How are we going to get that 2 to 3%? How are we going to go from 2 to 3% growth so that we can get ourselves out of the bad debt trap?
Somehow it's going to come down to printing even more money, I think.
Let him talk.
You know, technology, AI, getting embedded in the enterprise, the productivity opportunity from that.
Oh, we're screwed.
AI, that's
productivity from AI. Well, yeah, of course. And it actually, there's something to be said for that, for as long as you can keep it running, because what we're doing is we're soaking up all the money into this circular AI economy, where just everything is being, you know, sent to the next guy, and eventually comes back to NVIDIA, and then it goes out again and goes to Ape and I mean, even that new humanoid robot thing that everyone was looking at. Neo, Neo, the stupid robot with an anonymous Indian controlling it from Bangladesh.
Yeah, it's Amazon walk in, grab your grocery 2.0.
Well, $129 million both rounds, led by OpenAI. I mean, come on. It's like the money really? Is just circulating. Yeah, sure. So, okay. Yeah. Well, that's very risky.
And somehow every time it hops from around the circle from one company to the next, everybody gets to record this as an investment, as an asset, and not a liability.
Yo, that's the beauty of it. Yeah, of course.
Magical accounting.
Yeah,
you know?
That's fantastic.
But so the answer is AI. That's what's going to give us the productivity in order to grow out of this, grow out of the problem.
Wow.
And so, I also happened to be listening to, at the same time, that's why all this stuff sort of piqued my interest at the same time, is I happened to be listening to an old talk by Milton Friedman from 1978,
mm-hmm.
Speech he gave. And now, I'm not a Milton Friedman fan. I mean, the Chicago School of Economics, I think, is just kind of like mid. But at the same, you know, I would probably be more of an Austrian, but his theory of, or his explanations of that inflation only comes, inflation is anywhere and everywhere a monetary phenomenon, that is just accepted gospel now. I mean, it's a provable fact that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of his other, you know, of his other aspects of his economics, that aspect is legitimate. And he happened to be talking, he gave a talk on inflation, And he mentioned this issue of productivity and growing your way out of an inflationary trap in Milton Friedman 1.
The second argument that will be made, you've left out of this picture productivity. In those charts, what was it that I connected with prices? It was not simply the quantity of money. It was a quantity of money per unit of output. And it's true. Anything that increases output will tend to hold down prices. And so it's very common for people to say, well, the real source of inflation is that our productivity has not been increasing as much as it should. Or to say that the real cure for inflation is to increase productivity. Now, productivity is an enormously important phenomenon from the point of view of our standard of life, of how well we live. There's nothing that's more important. If we can get a rate of real growth of 3% instead of 2%, that will make a great difference over a period of time. And I don't doubt that one of our national problems is a fall off in the growth in productivity. But from the point of view of inflation, it's the wrong order of magnitude.
Oops.
It would be a tremendous achievement to raise the average rate of growth of real output in this country from 3% a year to 4% a year. That would be a 33 1/3% increase. It would be a dramatic change. But it would reduce the rate of inflation by 1 percentage point a year. And from that point of view, the possible variations in the quantity of money are much greater than the variations in output and productivity. So from the point of view of inflation, productivity is very much of a bit actor on the stage. The lead, the hero or the villain, as you wish it, is not productivity, but what happens to the quantity of money.
Oh, he kind of screwed me at the end.
Why?
Well, he said it's not productivity, but it's the quantity of money.
Right.
Because I was going to say that when it comes to productivity, first of all, restarting manufacturing in America, even if it's just rare earths, you know, any kind of manufacturing, that increases our own productivity. How, on the other hand, I'll say that even though they're losing money on me, that my vibe coding has indeed increased the output of productivity because I only have one Dave Jones. He's working on something else. I am being productive in ways I couldn't have been before, regardless of whether it's costing Elon Musk way more than I'm paying him, which is currently nothing.
Right. But for every one Adam Curry, there's 14,000 people laid off, 14,000 developers laid off at Amazon.
Well, but they can all get a sandwich here at my house. So.
See, it's like there's.
And that they weren't developers. They were supposed to be administrative.
Well, there's a lot of engineers getting laid off. This seems to be hitting Twitch particularly hard, and a lot of developers, a lot of engineers. The Amazon's, this is particularly like the Amazon Twitch and game development side seems to be drastically affected by this latest thing. And this, and I don't know if you saw, YouTube, their announcement that they were going to be laying off. Let me quote it accurately. They're doing buyouts.
Yes.
And a reorg. And so they're wanting voluntary buyouts. And so this is what, and the letter that YouTube CEO put out, I don't know if we've seen numbers like this before from them. He mentions something in there. And clearly these things don't get, I mean, these things are leaked. They're not, you know, please, they don't get out without, you know, they're carefully worded so that they know they're going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But the CEO of YouTube says, you know, in this letter, he says, he starts talking about all their awesomeness. And then he says, we've built a subscription engine with over 125 million monthly paid subscriptions and 8 million YouTube TV subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I wasn't sure if we've ever seen that 125 million subscriber number for YouTube.
I think I've heard number, maybe not. Okay.
Yeah, somebody will tell me if, if I'm wrong.
So hold on a second. 125 million times, what is it?
Like, it's like $14 a month.
14.
Yeah, so about.
That is.
Be generous and say $2 billion a month in revenue.
Well, 1.75.
Yeah. So, yeah. But there's family memberships in there too and stuff that are a little bit more. So let's. Yeah, you could probably round it up to two.
$2 billion, and then eight. How many YouTube TV?
YouTube TV is eight million. Yes,
8 million, and that's time. But there's a huge cost associated with that.
Yeah, that's probably very low margin, I would imagine.
Yeah, in fact, they just threw off ESPN and all Disney stations because they couldn't get to a an agreement on the carriage fee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's 24 billion a year in revenue from subscribers. You know.
Yeah.
Let's say, and so Spotify, we know those numbers. 88% of their total revenue comes from subscribers. Only 12%, or it's actually less than 12%. It's like 11.5%.
Comes from advertising.
Yeah. So let's just say that's maybe that's similar at YouTube. That means. They're doing $300 million in ad revenue a month. That's nothing.
On the grand scale, no.
At their scale, at their size, that's very little. And so I think if you sort of back your way into these numbers, that really makes you question, you know, whether they're profitable, number one. And
as a separate business unit, you mean?
Yes, that's a standalone unit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and you know that's all revenue. That's not income. I mean, you know that's not profit.
That's not profit.
Yeah, that's not profit. Yeah. Yeah, that's not profit. So you know, YouTube doing a reorganization and asking for buyouts and that kind of thing. That's this is all. You know, this is all pointing to that they're going to be using AI as the excuse, the enhanced productivity
of
AI.
Yeah, that's clear.
Yeah, across the board for all of these things. That's what you're gonna hear that time after. That's what's gonna be said for everything. But really, the issue is a overall slowdown in government spending. The government spending is decaying,
decelerating.
That deflation. Coming from government spending, that deflation is starting to hit everybody. Because the only way you keep this whole machine running is by staying in front of inflation by outprinting it.
Yeah,
and David Solomon says as much in number three about who pays.
Number three, okay.
But if we continue on the current course and we don't. Take the growth level up, there will be a reckoning in this. And the bottom line is we have to find people, you know, to buy and finance our debt. And, you know, ultimately it's not going to be other people around the world. If it keeps growing, it's going to turn to us.
Well, what happened to stablecoin?
Well, he talks about that too. Okay. Play number four.
I think you have to start, David, with a point of view that the dollar and the relationship between currencies fluctuate. And, you know, the dollar's been on a pretty good run over a long period of time, and it's certainly given back this year, given some of the policy actions, some of the gains. But fundamentally, the dollar is the reserve currency of the world. I don't see anything at the moment that threatens that. And even when we were talking about, you know, debt and, you know, our fiscal debt, when you get around the world and you look at all the capital flows around the world, global allocators, 50% of their capital is coming into the U.S. They might be hedging the dollar a little bit differently now than they might have been for the last few years, but I think it's more at the margin. So I think it's something to watch, but I'm not concerned that there's some fundamental shift. And actually, when you think about digitization and tokenization and access to the dollar, you know, over time, it's actually allowing easier access to the dollar around the world, which in the long run is a benefit for the dollar and the dollar's position in the world.
Okay, tokenization, that's the stablecoin gambit.
Yeah, he says 50% of the investment around the world is in, you know,
dollars.
50-something is in dollars. Yeah. And so how do we get, we need to get that to be 80%, 90%, 100%. So you tokenize. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you need a digital dollar to get to go out and capture you? So you, the way you get out of this debt trap or stay ahead of it is you grow the dollar. It's everything. You got to grow. You got to grow. You got to grow. That's the only way out of this.
Bigger, thing. Bigger, bigger, more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is coming home. Spotify for creators. I got an email from them saying that they were going to
start charging.
No. I did not. No, not that email. I got an email saying that they were going to kill my account if I didn't go out there and do some activity on it.
Oh,
now this is the first
because there's an actual account. Like 3 bytes are being used. What is that?
I've had an Anchor account as just a test, you know, to keep in the background forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a long time.
Sure.
And this is the first time I've ever gotten an email saying that I had to go be active on my account in order to
keep it.
To keep it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just seeing.
So they want to shut shut machines down.
Yeah. And I'm seeing it in the software industry as a whole in line of business apps. I'm seeing, Microsoft went up on their volume licensing. Now, this is a $4 trillion company. They make hundreds of billions of dollars in profit every year. They went up across the board on their volume licensing costs 20% this past year.
Wow.
This is what businesses pay for things like Windows licenses, Office 365, that kind of thing.
And 20%. And guess what? There's no guarantee it stays up. See Azure this week.
Right. And they're laying off people consistently.
Yeah.
You know, because AI. What I'm saying is there's a reckoning that is happening in slow motion right in front of us. I think what this administration has done and that is inadvertently expose all the weak points that everyone thought were there, but didn't really know how to spot because global economics is so difficult to understand. It's such an octopus. But I think if you just take your foot off the gas just a hair, all of a sudden, all the cracks and all the rot starts to show. And what is it is having a ripple effect across all of these industries. Podcasting is tied in with all of these.
Podcast advertising and podcast hosting.
Yes. Yes. And so, I mean, this is going to be rough. I mean, I think, you know, once these kinds of things start, it could be pretty nasty over the next few months.
Oh, well, years. I have my own indicator, because I've been doing it for 18 years and I can see that people are slower to part with their money in value for value. I just see it. And which, by the way, is one of the most fantastic things about value for value, because yes, it fluctuates and yes, it goes down, but it's not like people are en masse canceling subscriptions. When they still feel like they get some value, they send off another, you know, $5 or $50 or sometimes $500. Right. But only when they can. And they email me, "Hey man, like, I'm really sorry. I haven't been able to send anything for a while." Mm-hmm. John and I both have noticed it. I don't think it's a reduction in quality of the product. Although some would say because we don't eschew Israel, it is, but I disagree.
Okay. But you know, that's I think what we're I think that's what we're staring down the face of.
I agree.
And it makes me think, like, I've kind of brought this mindset
to the boardroom,
sort of to the thought about value for value, about the Bitcoin, you know, value tag. Now, I knew we were going to be talking to Chad today, and it just made me, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I feel like it's not inappropriate to have sort of convictions about things even if nobody, even if other people don't share those convictions. And so it's, you know, we've always had a feeling that Bitcoin was going to be a sort of a modern hard asset.
Mm-hmm.
It would share a use case with gold and in a way that's easier to get into and out of. Now, you know, whether gold, so, I mean, gold has a lot of draw, you know, has a lot of drawbacks too. You know, it's, you got to store it. You got to keep it safe. You can't really ship it very easily without, you know, heavy insurance and that kind of thing. And it's a cumbersome thing to have,
mm-hmm.
but it serves a purpose as a hard asset and as a store of value. And there was, and Bitcoin is sharing that same role, but in a much more accessible, easier to get in and out of, you know, package.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, what we felt like early on and why we thought that Bitcoin was a good thing to do in podcasting, good thing to support directly in podcasting, was because of its digital nature, because of its open nature, because it was easy
programmability
to plug into programmatically. And then, but also that it was going to somehow serve this other role. And so, you know, a podcaster could say, you know, could do advertising and could do lots of different revenue streams, but then also have this sort of backup strategy. This is the sort of the retirement account for a podcaster, mm-hmm. where they're, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, stacking sats or whatever. They're also getting a stream of Bitcoin in, which is this hard asset, which is going to resist inflationary pressure. Yeah, it's volatile. It is, but that's the nature of a 24/7 hard asset. Of a
true open market without handbrakes, right. And emergency brakes, of course.
Right, and people pull. The reason gold is less volatile, even though it has been pretty nasty the last couple of weeks, even though the reason gold is less volatile is just because it's so much harder to get rid of.
Right.
You know, when you can get rid of Bitcoin instantly, it's going to swing wildly sometimes. So anyway, I'm just bringing all that to the table of like this discussion of, I think if you sort of eject the growth mindset and say, well, you know, you can have a conviction about something. You don't have to just be open to, okay, well, I guess we can't do it since we can't support it. We can't do it unless we can support every possible currency that exists in the world and all of them you haven't even thought of yet. Well, I mean, still to this day, very little work has been done on any other, you know, currency, even the dollar,
mm-hmm.
other than Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about in the RSS feed. I'm not talking about platforms. Yeah.
So are you making a case to keep it as Bitcoin? Is that what I'm hearing?
I think I'm feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying reject. You can bring Chad anytime if you want to.
No, I don't want to. Let him sit there. Well, want to play this last Milton Friedman clip and then we can bring him in?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. What is he saying here? It's short.
Just play it. Play it.
The difficulty of having people to understand monetary theory is very simple, and that is that the central banks are good at press relations. The central banks hire people, and the central banks employ a large fraction of all economists. So there is a bias to tell the story, in a way that is favorable to the central banks.
Oh, well, of course. That makes nothing but sense. Nothing but sense. Yeah. By the way,
when they all work for the Fed, then that's what the story is.
Yeah, of course. So two things. One, this explains to me immediately why there is a federal law that that no states may make any laws against AI for 10 years. That was quite controversial.
I did not know. When did this happen?
That might have been part of the big, beautiful, one big, beautiful bill.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Let me just double check.
Are you kidding me?
No. No.
Oh, that's great.
Let me see. No state laws against AI for 10 years. Where did that come from? Let's see.
I said, Spencer said they're edging Chad.
Hold on. Oh, I'm on expert mode, so it's going to take a second. Expert mode on Grok is a piece of crap. I've been doing an interface today. And, you know, I said, change the color. And it would, and then none of the buttons would work. You know, it's like, okay,
oh, cool.
Yeah, how hard can it be?
But they sure do look good.
How hard can it be? Don't change anything except the color. Well, I changed the color and I changed the way the CSS were. No, no. Just give me the code for dark.
Productive. Do you feel productive? Do you feel very much more productive?
I feel more productive than having no Dave Jones.
That's true.
Yeah, so there's a point. Oh, it's going to take a long time here. Thank you, Mike Newman. Let's bring in Chad. Let's bring in the man of many wallets, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Chad F.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Chad. How are you?
The man of many wallets. I like that.
Yeah, I'm good. It's really weird being here, to be honest.
Oh, well, we love having you here, man. And I think I said on the last board meeting that when I heard your voice on the demo you did of one of your V4V music wallets, I'm like, that guy doesn't sound like I envisioned Chad's voice sounding at all.
It almost sounded like you thought I sounded like Todd Cochran for a second.
Oh, no. I just thought you were like a really wimpy, whiny voice, but you're not.
Well, thanks.
This says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Hey, I'll take that.
Well, we're glad to have you here, man, for sure. Because you've been doing just, you know, yeoman's work on testing out everything to see if we can. Well, I'll set it up and then you can tell us. But to me, once KeySend started to become an issue and we started talking about it, you went on a very long journey, months and months, I would say, of trying to find first ways to make KeySend work. And I think you've now switched to, okay, how can we make LN addresses work? With some focus on sovereignty and being self-hosted, I think you've probably let that slip a little bit. And you've come up with solutions and you're really looking at everything just in any attempt to continue to make this work. The biggest issue, I think, being metadata. Does that kind of sum it up?
Yeah, but actually the wallet journey has been, I guess, really ever since we switched from LN Pay to Albi, because I know how much of a pain that was. And we've always been, like, personally, I've been looking for an Albi alternative for the last 3 years. And yeah. I still don't really have one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see one out there, you know.
Yeah, well, and
you mean like a drop-in API replacement type thing?
There's wallets out there. So like that music demo app you referenced that uses the
Breeze Spark wallet.
Yeah. And that was like, I added that to an app that I already had within like a couple hours of vibe coding. And that was really just dropping the GitHub in and kind of getting it to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that works. And there are other wallets that work, but none of them do KeySend. So you can, like, anyone can go and build like a new podcast app or a music app using it's like 30,000 value enabled feeds in the index, but they all have KeySend, so you can't pay them.
That is going to be changing as my understanding is that Fountain is going to start, you know, changing those feeds to have LN address. Cause I spoke with Oscar reached out to me to make sure that the the APIs were right for him to make those changes. So I think they're going to retroactively, at least for all the stuff that Fountain, all the podcasters that Fountain hosts, they're going to start changing that. So it really, it would be, I guess the other major sources would probably be what, Wavelake, and then all the self-hosters. LN Beats.
Yeah, because really, like even that demo app basically uses Fountain music feeds because they don't have any key send. So Fountain changes, and probably most podcasters are using a Fountain feed anyhow. Mm-hmm. So even if they're using like Pod Home or someone else, I would assume that Fountain would just fix that somehow. But that's really on the host, honestly. Like if they're making feeds for people with like value tags in them, it's kind of up to them to pick what they put in them.
Right.
Honestly. And then the self-hosters, which is the camp I'm in. So like I'm running a Lightning node with Albie Hub, and it's, as a listener, it's the best setup I've ever had. Mm-hmm. All of my sending payments show up in Albie Hub, and I mean they show up in Albie Hub and Helipad. And without me having Albie Hub, I wouldn't have been able to do any of this testing that I have, just because it's,
yeah, it's like the Swiss Army knife. You got everything in there.
Yeah, like it's been working, and it's been battle tested, and the apps are set up for it. So mm-hmm. kind of all of that said, like the current model works. Mm-hmm. And we can build new apps, but any new apps need to support Albie or use Albie to pay most of the splits, I guess. Cause like you could build a new app right now and like all the payments are just going to fail if you try like a Coinos wallet or like Primal or mm-hmm. anything.
Those are not key send, right? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Cause none of them, I've tested them all.
Yeah.
And Albie's the only thing we have.
Yeah.
So all of that said, if I had to boil all this down, I would say we need to move away from key send addresses in the feeds.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know that has metadata issues, but honestly, I don't care about that because we need mm-hmm. to be sending payments before we can send the messages. Because a couple years ago, we had Boost before we had Boostagrams.
Yep.
Right.
And all the other Strike or basically all the other stuff, it just needs to be put off for now. Like we need to focus on sending payments, because ever since we switched to Albie, say 3 years ago, everyone's been saying that we need an Albie alternative, but no Albie alternative exists because of no other wallets do key send, but the feeds have key send, so you can't use other wallets anyhow. So it's like it's a standoff, and we always say that the feed is the source of truth. So if you're a podcaster and you have you pick what you want in your feed. Like if your feed has key send, then you're going to have to tell your audience how to pay that. Or if it's a Fountain or whatever, like it's kind of on the, like it's really on the podcasters, to be honest, if we're going to.
Well, Dave, if you did a search right now, I'm pretty sure that almost 90% of all podcast wallet addresses in the feeds are Fountain. I'm just going to guess.
Well, but even the Fountain feeds, like if you use Sovereign feeds, well, Okay, so if you're using a fountain address and if you use sovereign feeds, it still puts the key send information
right
in the RSS.
No, I understand. So, but everyone has to change that. I mean,
exactly.
We've even slowly changed, and it's going to be painful, but that's just it. I mean, I've switched almost everything over to LN URL for this podcast.
Yeah, and all of the current apps that use Albi minus Podverse have updated to support LN address. So mm-hmm. if you would move, I'm trying to think how I want to say this. I guess so. Like, if you're running Node now, you're running Albi Hub, you put your Albi address in your feed, the apps can still pay it. So basically, if you switch from KeySend to an LN address, all of the apps minus
Podverse
can pay them just fine. So, like, we can make this transition, and we know that the new Lightning addresses work in the feeds, because, like, I've tested Strike.
Yeah, it works fine.
Cash App and other ones. So, the feeds are okay, and the apps can handle paying those because they use Albi. So, like, we can transition, and then once we kind of get more feeds changed over, then we can start adding maybe more wallets into the apps and then worry about the metadata and seeing how we tie other things in.
Yeah, I'm with you on the metadata. I mean, I will miss it very much until we get it kind of working for live shows, because it's really cool to have stuff coming in live. I completely agree. But No Agenda now is accepting Bitcoin payments through Lightning, and it's in the feed as a Strike address. And I'm sure we're missing some things, but in general, the actual boostograms are very low. But we've had several $1,000 payments come through Strike, and people just send us an email.
That's what I was thinking a while ago when Chad was describing the issues. It's like, if we, the cliff that we're about to run off of is the, first of all, is the key send cliff. Yeah. And so if we fix that first, then I feel like, so if we go through all the, feeds, here's what I think I should do. I feel like I should go through and just dump out a list of all of the value block feeds in the index and then group them by top level domain. So all the feeds that are hosted at Fountain, Wavelake, LN Beats, blah, blah, blah. Just get sort of like a list that says, percentage wise, here's from most to least, here's the biggest impact hosting companies that are going to have to, that still have key send in there, that are going to need to make a change. And then just like publish that, so that we can all see it, and then that lets the people responsible for that know what they need, that they need to go in there and make changes, and try to just keep that in the front of everybody's mind until we get people solving their problem.
Yeah, and I have seen multiple podcast guru metadata boostograms that come through on Strike, and it has a URL same as a Fountain, and so these systems are being tested and built, which I'm extremely delighted by.
Actually, I think the Fountain ones, I think they're just a link to the episode in Fountain, but I could be wrong. But the podcast guru ones are a link to like a web page for Podcast Guru, and it has what looks like the TLV records.
I also got one here from Castomatic.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Franco's doing yet, but I know the Podcast Guru guys have been playing around with just putting a URL in like the metadata or whatever, mm-hmm. and sending that along.
Right.
So the metadata is like you just link out to it and it's readable. Yeah. Is that the way?
Yeah, basically. And then I guess like in Adam's example of using Strike to receive payments for no agenda, like Strike's not going to let you tie in to get that data. So I think that data needs to be sent
somewhere from else. Whoa. 10,000 sats. Thank you very much.
Which I'm guessing that's up to the, I'm guessing that's up to the podcast apps. Like
Alex is building the MetaBoost spec to give us an API, like a Swagger, API to send the metadata. And then we can all just write to that interface. And then on the back end, you can push to wherever you want it to be. Noster.
I have Fountain. Yeah, you're right, Chad. They send you a URL to the boostagram on Fountain. And so I got one here and it took me right to Comics or Bloggers boostagram. So I can read it right there. Yeah.
All right. I wasn't sure if it went to like the episode page or if it went right to the boost, but okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. So what
I was saying earlier, kind of where I was going with all that discussion, previously is that I think that we're just at some point you can't avoid having some being opinionated about stuff. And I think we've always tried, and actually we've gotten criticism for this too. We've tried to be so open and so accommodating to every possible protocol to where, like when you, for instance, the social interact tag, it's made to be where you can just plug anything into it. We never said, okay, you must use ActivityPub or you must use this or that. But so we tried to make it where it was just as open as possible and pluggable. But I think, and that's fine. I still think that's the right approach most of the time. But when it comes to, but then you have to, then you step back and you look and you say, okay, it's been 5 years and the only people who are using the value tag in anything like, well, I mean, the only people using it period are Bitcoin people. So there, it doesn't mean you stop. It doesn't mean we're going to, that we all change the spec to where it doesn't accept anything but Bitcoin. It just means that I think like we can safely say at this point in the game, let's focus on Bitcoin and solve this problem. And make sure that it works because it's been in a broken state for months now, and it's just sort of limping along. And I think we need to I'm kind of speaking just from my own mind here. I'm talking this out myself so that I understand what I'm planning to do and say, well, this is, so I'm not going to feel bad about just digging in and making sure that we fix the Bitcoin part. Anything else trying to say, oh, well, they dropped Keysend or they're not, they drop, but like nobody supports Keysend for normal wallets. So, let's switch to stablecoin or let's try to figure out how to cram the dollar into this thing or whatever. I mean, I just don't think that's useful. I think we just need to double down on the people who clearly love and use this thing all the time.
Yeah, and like you say that Bitcoiners are using this and Bitcoiners are just happy with whatever Fountain decides to do, and I like the direction Oscar's going. I might not agree with it, like with the Noster stuff fully, but like the quote unquote Bitcoiners are only using Fountain, and they'll just do whatever Fountain tells them to do. And my focus is on those of us that have been here all 5 years and want to help all of the apps do this, not just Fountain. Like I want, like I want to help Franco. I want to help the guys that, you know, Podcast Guru, Mitch over at Podverse, Stephen B at CurioCaster. So like I'm like, I kind of see how like moving away from Keysend is like the first step to fixing all this. Cause that like for me, testing and vibe coding stuff, if I had more feeds that didn't have Keysend, they wouldn't rely on Albie. So then I could test, I could test with other wallets, and maybe that would bring more people on board. Because like I've also been working with some Nostr devs, and one of them built a music app, and they pulled everything in from the index, and they said, "Hey, these all have Keysend payments, which requires using AlbiHub, and AlbiHub isn't really that popular amongst Bitcoiners because even they think it's too much to do." Mm. So he just turns those off. So his app will show all of the music from the index, but if it's basically, if you can't send a zap to it, it's just turned off. Because he would rather turn it off than have an error message. So it's like, it really just comes back to Keysend. And like, it doesn't say Keysend has to go away, because you can still leave Keysend in there and just tell people to use Fountain as long as they support Keysend, and use Albie as long as it supports Keysend. So it's like, I don't know. It comes back to the feeds, I guess, is kind of my, if I had to sum all this up.
Well, just trying to figure out who this is. Somebody in the boardroom, maybe it's Cotton Gin, saying just use Nostr. The problem, I don't want to, the value tag is supposed to be, a direct interface to the currency, or to the protocol that controls the ledger, and it should not be an interface to an intermediary platform like Nostr that has some then depend, you know, that where you have to use Nostr to get to Bitcoin. That's just, I don't think that makes any sense. I mean, if you're going to do that, just figure out how to manipulate like the, you know, just put in some podcast TXT records or something like that, to try to shove that in there, or put it, you know, figure out how to put it in the funding tag or something like that in some way. But I mean, the value tag itself is supposed to be a direct interface to the currency ledger tool itself. So that's going to either be directly on chain, Lightning, Arc, you know, something like that directly. And yeah, I think we have to keep it that way. That it doesn't make any other sense to, I think it's a slippery slope to try to, because then why don't you just put like Strike directly in there with API calls or something? Like, it doesn't make, I think that's a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah. And I'm like kind of on the fence with Nostr, but like it keeps coming up. So like it being used for the metadata, I do like, because I've added Oscar's proposal to some of my apps. So I can send a boost and it goes to Helipad like it does now. And it also posts to Nostr. So that's a nice option, but that's only like one of three options we have for the metadata. So it's like that. And then Activity Pub or the Meta Boost. And I don't know, everyone's going to just argue between the three of those. And so I'm not really worried, because that's not, something I'm worried about. But then Nostr also adds Nostr Wallet Connect, that I'm a huge fan of, because that adding just
unfortunate
that
name, good tech, unfortunate name.
but names don't matter. But
right. I'm just immediately think it's a, they need a relay and all that.
Yeah. But I don't know how heavy of a load that is for apps to add. None of them, like Franco's kind of played around with it, but he doesn't really see just from what I've seen him post, it kind of sounds like it's like too heavy of a load for him to add to Cast-O-Matic, which it might be. I don't know. But NWC like lets us use, I don't know, maybe a dozen wallets, and you just kind of copy and paste a string in. And if you lose that string, you just burn it. So it's like the metadata and Nostr Wallet Connect are like the two things from Nostr that I like. But then again, Nostr Wallet Connect, those wallets don't do key send, so unless it's Albi. But I don't know. But outside of so if you want to build something, I guess even the current apps, like if you want to build a new app as a indie vibe coding dev, you support Albi like we do now, NWC, or you try this Breeze SDK that I've been playing around with.
How do you like that?
It's actually pretty slick. Okay. Because it's similar to how Breeze used to be, where the Breeze wallet added podcasting to the app. But with this Spark SDK, you can kind of take that and you can flip it, mm-hmm. where it's a podcasting app with the wallet baked in.
Mm-hmm.
So basically you just hit make wallet and it just spits out 12 words and you have it, and you write those 12 words down. And if you lose them, you're screwed.
Right.
But so you spin that up.
You don't need to manage liquidity or anything.
No, that's all done through Breeze, because you'll connect it. Okay. And it takes a couple seconds and it connects there. And then you top it up, like you always do now. Mm-hmm. And it's almost just like how Albi has always been. But the only thing I think
what Dave is, just going back to what Dave said initially, is if we just take a stand and say, okay, here's what we're doing to fix this, since it's been several years, 5 years, and no alternative currency has been added into the system. I think we just need to stop worrying about normies.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
You know, just stop worrying about it, because normies will either become non-normies or they won't. And personally, I've onboarded a lot of people into Bitcoin, and they consider themselves to be hodlers, but they still, and there's always going to be trouble. They have problems figuring it out, getting it from Strike into Fountain, connecting. I mean, even just connecting. I mean, this is just life. That's just what it is.
Yeah, it's part of it.
And topping up and buying your sats and all this stuff. And as I've always said, it always comes down to the podcasters explaining that to their audience over and over again. And people will do it. They will really try to do it. There's just no frictionless world. And just look at what we're doing. It's amazing any of this stuff works at all, in my mind. It's crazy that this has been created and it works. And by the way, we got 10,000 from Cast-O-Matic, who sent 10,000 sats. Says, you guys are crazy! No metadata. It's no message, which, as you know, is a key aspect of the value for value feedback loop, which is why you're keeping key send at the moment. For those of us that have been building off this for the last couple of years, the messages are absolutely vital. Well, yes, yeah. The messages are important.
I assume that came from Franco himself.
Maybe. No, Franco sent. No, good. Well, maybe.
I don't know. Well, maybe. I don't know. I just assumed because that's he said that before on the Mastodon, so that's why. No. Okay. That's why I was curious.
Busted.
But he's right. But it's an order of operations, though. I mean, like it does.
It's yes, not a reason to keep key send.
Well, right. See, right. The reason did you get rid of key the problem with switching. Or the reason that you switch from KeySend to LN address is not primarily to get quote unquote normies or things like that. It's because
KeySend the writing is going on the away.
Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, because KeySend is so sparsely supported amongst wallets. People who are Bitcoin people may not have a wallet that supports KeySend and they want to interface with that. And so there you need to have that. It's keeping even your own rabid fan base in some instances from sending you money.
And going back to the Nostr wars of the past. So far, Nostr has not come up with the promised alternative to value for value podcasting because, of course, they couldn't. We knew that. But we've also failed in making the payment part easy for the Nostr people. So, I mean, there's really your opportunity.
Yeah, well, okay, so assuming that was from Franco, which I think it was.
It doesn't matter to me.
Well, but, okay, I've been kind of working with him on stuff, so he's kind of at the top of my mind. But if he's building Castomatic, that's his app. If he wants to support KeySend, he can keep Albie in Castomatic, and as long as they support KeySend, then I don't see the issue. Because Albie will pay anything, and if app devs want to keep supporting Albie, then that's their. I mean, it comes down to what they want to do. I mean, it comes down to what all of us want to do. Like every app dev, podcaster.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. This is my life. I live on value for value. I live on it. That's literally how I pay my mortgage, my car, help my kids with their electricity bill. I live on this. I live and die by it. And we still get PayPals with no note. And you know what they get? A double up karma. And notes get lost, and it's a very convoluted system, and it's not always perfect, but it's not like the end of the world. If I asked John C. Dvorak, and it took me 10 years to get him to even accept Bitcoin, if I asked him how critical is the note, he says, "Bah, I don't care at all, just want the money." And so it's not the end of the world, and we will fix it. But in the meantime, in this transition period, we have to keep the money flowing, and which has stopped, by the way. The amount of sats coming into the podcast index node has dropped significantly. Just fallen off a cliff. And I think it's multiple reasons why. And going back to Dave's original point, I'm using Bitcoin more and more as currency. And there's so many different ways to use it as currency. And there's so many people who are, particularly Chris at This Week in Bitcoin, is continuously coming up, showing us new ways of how without selling your Bitcoin, you can transfer it to different places, and you can use fiat against it. This is just the pioneering world that we have to go through. And we may wind up as, we come out of the apocalypse and everything around us is in rubble and ash, that we may still be alive, and we'll be using this. I don't know. Sounds to me like 10 years is kind of the time frame when something has to blow up with the dollar. I don't think we have much more than that. Maybe that's why that 10-year AI thing has been put in place. No laws against AI, state laws. So, you know, it's like, yeah, it's a step back, but I'm sorry, it's not the end of the world. It's just not.
It does. To me, the metadata thing is very solvable.
Well, it's been two things that have been holding us back. One, a core group of very hardcore people saying, if it's not sovereign, it's no good. And that has driven away tons of musicians, all kinds of people who just threw their hands up in the air and went, I can't do an Albi Hub. I don't feel like doing it. It's too much work. And they went away. I think that ship has now sailed. I think we're past that, particularly with Strike just being so incredibly easy to convert your Bitcoin back and forth. And now we're at the metadata stage. And I think we just have to do the same thing. We just got to go. We got to move forward.
Well, Eric PP said metadata is solvable in multiple ways. Yeah, I think the metadata seems very solvable to me. But you have to figure out order of operations when you have it. When you have multiple things, you have a switch from keysend to LN address, and then you have the fact that LN address does not handle metadata very well.
Here's a possible interim step that may help people. Because it's mainly people who are doing live shows who will really miss the boostagram aspect. And I completely get it. Mm-hmm. I think, and by the way, 90% of those people use No Agenda Stream and the Void Zero, zero node.net IRC channels. I'm convinced of it. Those are the loudest people. We can easily create a bot. I'm looking at you, Cotton Gin. That will take, 1% split of an LN address boostagram and somehow convert that into an on-screen message as an interim step. So at least we have metadata coming through for the live shows. I think that's the main thing that people want.
Yeah, well, a few of the NA-related shows, like I know Bowl After Bowl, Spencer has a boost bot. Like right in the IRC that some people use. But we need a dashboard, but we just need to figure out where to pull that from.
Well, this is what I'm saying. If we create one bot, one IRC bot that just does it and you can put that into your feed, even if you alone are logged in and just looking at what that boost bot says, that's part of the problem solved right there before we deploy a new helipad or whatever else has to happen. Just a single bot.
I actually made something similar for Spencer since his stuff posts to Bowl After Bowl. I actually read the IRC and send those messages out to Noster. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the same idea. But we need those payment flows to be able to tap into it, which I guess is kind of my point and kind of what Dave was saying about we need to, there's so much to fix that we need to kind of just pick something and just start chipping away at it.
Right. So I think I'm with Dave. Like, let's just pick payments first and work on that. And the Fountain guys will change the 90% of wallet addresses in their feeds. And, we put out a list like, hey, you've got a switch. I don't know any other way.
Yeah. Let's fix the.
We're going to lose millions of dollars here. Okay. I mean, it's just not. Yeah. It's just not.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's fix.
Franco says angry boost about metadata wasn't from me. Okay. Oh, there you go. Good.
I stand corrected. Sorry, Franco.
let's fix the fact that a bunch of wallets are not a bunch of splits are not working right now. Let's fix that first. So the money actually gets when somebody there's nothing more disappointing. But now on the podcaster side, for sure it sucks not getting those payments. But also it sucks for the. For the people sending it, like CSB gets very angry when his splits do not go through. And I feel that. Like I feel if I try to send a payment to somebody and it doesn't work, it's annoying. settle.
Tell me about it. I sent 100,000 sats to This Week in Bitcoin from the CLI interface because I know that he's still doing key send. And I know no boost was read, so I don't think he got it. But it left my wallet. Although he does have two feeds in the index. I'm wondering if it went somewhere else. But yeah, I felt very. I was let down.
Yeah, like, you've already mentally decided. You've already mentally parted with that money, and then when it comes back to you, you're like, oh wait,
just. Like we're just gonna have a lot more of that as we test stuff out. Honestly, yeah. I mean, like a lot of us that are kind of chipping away at stuff, can you know we like doing that, but I mean stuff's gonna fail. But it's either leave it like it is or we fix something.
All right, Dave Jones, Pod Sage, what's the plan of attack here? What's the plan of attack? What are we gonna do?
I'm going to start by dumping out all those feeds and getting us a list that tells where, you know, top, like most to least, who's hosting the most feeds. And then we just kind of go through and contact those people and get them, you know, inform them that they, if they don't know already, that they need to transition all those receiving addresses over to LNURL.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if most people are using, I'm just assuming most people are using Fountain wallets anyhow, so like that should be an easy, like switching it from the Fountain key send info just to the someone at fountain.fm should be easy, at least in my mind. But
Now, Sam is going to be affected by this. Is TrueFans hosting any wallets? Like podcaster wallets, or are they just listener wallets?
This I don't know. I think they are, but not many.
Yeah, I think they are too.
Not many.
Yeah, I believe
probably.
So.
Yeah. Well, if Sam's listening, just let me know if y'all are hosting very many wallets, and they may have already made this transition because they're usually pretty quick to make changes like this. So I imagine that he's probably already moved anybody over to a LNURL wallet. But I'll do that first. I think that's just like, I just can't think of 12 things at the same time. So I think that's just, we need to start there. And then once we get some sort of traction on that and get, you know, at least get acknowledgement from everybody that they've got some awareness of the issue and have something like a plan to change it. At that point, then we move on to like, okay, let's crack the metadata issue because I actually think that's the easier problem to solve.
Yeah.
And if people don't, I mean, people don't want to change their feeds, then that's up to them. We went through this when Albie changed, like a lot of us, some of us were hosting music and feeds for people and we had to go through and change all of the old Albie hosted wallets over to Fountain, and some of those people said, I don't care, just shut it down and you keep the sats, or we never heard from them. So we've got, like, you know, when Albie switched over a year ago, we've got feeds that still have those in it. So, but I like the idea of just like, we just need to know like what's in the index.
Mm-hmm.
And like from someone who's kind of like trying to build demo apps, like if I have a list of feeds that I know like don't have key send that I can add to apps, that helps a lot.
Okay. Yeah, that should be a very quick thing to do, is export all that stuff out, and then I'll just make it available. I mean, it's not, none of it's private. It's all in the feed anyway. So yeah. I'll just publish it and then we can slice and dice it and figure out what to do. And there's going to be some feeds that never fix their stuff. I mean, there's going to be stuff that's abandoned, or people don't even know that they put a wallet in there. They don't know what they're doing, and they'll never fix it. Somebody on PowerPress that stuck an Albie address in there 10 years ago, and then it's, you know, 20 years from now, it's still going to be, weird address in there.
Well, like we've seen that on the Albie stuff, because they've, like, as they've switched off stuff, people are like, hey, I had, you know, I had 100,000 sats in here that I forgot about for a year and now they're gone. But that's just, that's just part of running with scissors. You know?
Hey, Chad, have you actually been able to send anything out of that Breeze Spark wallet or only receive?
Oh, yeah. I sent a bunch of test ones to last week's episode.
No, because I'm getting all kinds of errors trying to get it out.
There was, I saw CSB post earlier that in Fountain, that episode, that your split on that episode failed.
Well, no, I'm trying to get it out. I'm trying to so there's like 26,000 sats in there, and I want to send it to the podcast index node, and I keep getting the payment failure, all kinds of crap.
I haven't really done much sending out, but that doesn't. You're not doing a key send payment, are you?
No. Ellen address.
Yeah, I don't. I've only been putting like 1,000 sats in at a time.
Yeah, I just let it sit, and it's not doing very well.
See, I'm also on the listener side, so I'm like pumping sats in and not really pulling them out from places.
Right.
So that's not really my area.
Okay.
Of expertise, but
so far failing.
But the sats are there. And that's what's important.
Got to call Roy. Hey, Roy, give me my sats,
They're there unless you try to send to Jupiter. Then they just
go
somewhere else.
In my demo app, I'll add this episode, and you can boost it, and I'll tell you if all the sats made it to my wallet or not.
Yeah. Well, the problem is getting them out of the Spark wallet. That's the problem.
Just boost something, but yeah, we'll see that. That's also a demo wallet. I don't know, but I mean, you've got Roy's number, right? Can't you just,
yes, I do. I do. I don't want to bother him for 26,000 sats, but there is a
Telegram dev group for that SDK.
Yeah.
That I've been in and he is active in.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know if you guys reach out to him and say,
I'll find him. Don't worry about it. I was just noticing it was a problem. Yeah.
Roy has Telegram embedded directly into his brain. I mean,
maybe tell him, hey, we're thinking about maybe adding this and see if he's, because I think he's checked out of the 2.0 stuff what I've seen.
Oh, yeah. No, he's gone.
But I mean, maybe we can bring him back in. I don't know.
I'm just
a vibe coder,
I'm with you, brother. I'm just a vibe coder. That's a t-shirt right there. Just a vibe coder, man. Don't ask me any questions.
That Telegram group's way over my head. But
Roy's got bigger fish to fry, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll do that, and then maybe Chris Fisher can tell us why he has two feeds.
Yeah, let me see. Because I took the one that, let me see.
Did he have? I think he does have two. I think I remember.
Yeah, he's got a Fountain feed and a Jupiter feed.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Yeah. I don't remember which one I sent it to.
That's his problem, having two feeds in the index.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they have
the same value splits, then they should.
Yeah, they do. They have the exact same value split, which is.
I mean, if you search a show and you accidentally boost the wrong one, I mean, that's not. I don't know. That's his problem. But I don't know. I'm just trying to rally some people. I'm excited. I see options, but I'm also stuck in the way we do things now because it works for me. But I'm willing.
That's how you decay. Yep. That's how things eventually fall off a cliff.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking my node and Albie Hub to the grave with me. But I'm willing to fix this along the way. Yeah. But I mean, the node with Albie Hub, it's just so solid.
Yeah.
It's so solid, but it requires extra steps, and I understand that. But
yeah.
Well. It's okay. If no, but I mean, again, to this day, Bitcoin, the only it's the only thing that's in the value block. Nobody else has anything in it.
So, I mean, Dave, is this also your way of saying we should stack sats to save our skin? SSSS?
I would, that's not a thing I would say, but yeah, I don't disagree with the sentiment.
Yeah.
It's,
well, Tina and I have definitely been doing it. We're all in. We're all in. We're like, yeah, this feels good. It's good.
Yeah.
And again, we use it, you know, if we go out for dinner with friends, you know, we'll settle the bill in sats, you know, just for fun, but it's still, he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. And then I'll say,
I've got a buddy that has, he does all of the new, like, fancy Bitcoin stuff. Like, he's got a fold card. He does.
Yeah.
He does like Bitcoin backed collateral loans.
Yeah.
Like he's doing all of that stuff. And like, you know, I don't go that far. I don't get into it, but it all works. I mean, like, he's doing it all the time.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and once you have a significant, not a significant, but like once you have just some holdings, you can, the way things are evolving now, you can really leverage that stuff to do some crazy things.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's into all that kind of stuff. And it's pretty impressive, honestly, because what you have is a thing that that dollars just are hard to it's hard to mimic with dollars. You have like a, you have an appreciating asset, which the dollar is just not. And so you can, like, if you take out like a Bitcoin loan or something, like Bitcoin backed loan, you have a built in, you're appreciating in value most of the time against the loan. And so when you get to like a certain level where it's like the value of your Bitcoin that you've put down as collateral, the value of that number of sats to the value of the loan principal, mm-hmm. it'll just sort of like reallocate itself. And, you know, it's because you're actually gaining against your loan in dollars.
Yeah.
And so, which is, we're just not, it's kind of like a brain
twister,
like, yeah. scramble. Yeah. That is not what we're used to. We're used to a constantly depreciating currency, and it's so hard to get so sort of like readjust to this thing. You're like, oh, you're saying I could take out a loan and in a certain amount of months, it may just pay itself off. Like, that doesn't compute.
Yeah.
Like, and so, but once you kind of like learn how to use that whole strategy, like you can do some pretty wild stuff. And so I don't know. I just think I'm not afraid to just say, well, you know, these are the people that are using it. This is the thing that, seems to be, have emerged as a real, you know, asset that we can, you know, do things with. And that's enough for me. I mean,
we still buy our beef in Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like,
that's a basic necessity right there.
Yeah. If I'm wrong, and you know, it's all just a huge global global scam that the hood's been pulled over my eyes, maybe, uh-huh. you know, then it's just on me, I guess.
Well, let's thank some people for joining in on the scam, with some boostograms. We appreciate it. Bully Steed, 1234 sats. Chad F, CEO of the free and open internet, AKA Vibe Coder.
Yeah.
There's Franco with his Angry Boost metadata wasn't about me. I read the 10,000 sats Angry Boost. Salty Cray on Howdy Boardroom, 4577. Happy White Paper Day. Ah, yes. Here's my end of month dono in sats conversion. $5 to $5. Go podcasting. Thank you, brother. 7777 from Mike Newman. I love it when the Pod Sage goes meta with a report from Realville. hearing similar on This Week in Bitcoin and read it years ago on the Thank God for Bitcoin book. Don't reject BTC, but add others and relook at A. Gates' proposal from a few years ago. Steady on. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
6900 from Franco. Live boost is love boost. Yeah, I agree. And with that, I hit the delimiter.
We got some, let's see what we got. We got some one-offs here, which is nice to see. We got these are PayPals. We got $10 from Jeffrey Hallam.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Hallam. Thank you, Jeffrey. Who else we got? We got, who's this? Oh, this is Bronze Oxen Films, LLC. Sent us $25.
Well, thank you.
Do you know Bronze Oxen
Films? I have never. In fact, I think we need a defragmenting. You've been defragmented. Thank you for participating.
Oh, Adam and Dave, thank you for all your work to keep speech free and open. Your efforts have enabled many years of fruitful ministry at the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast and the Biblical Family Network. Go podcasting.
Oh,
Sir
nice.
Thinking Dad, guardian of the home educators.
Yes, very nice. Homeschoolers unite.
Yep, we homeschooled our oldest too.
And she's no longer on drugs. It's great.
Let's see. This is a big one. $330.
Whoa.
Baller. Shot caller. 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
That's from David McAnally, and the message just says V for V.
Oh, V for V back at you, brother. Thank you.
V for V.
V for V. Love it. Thank you. That really makes a difference. Everything makes a difference, to be honest.
Man, that's, I don't know, I don't think David McAnally's ever seen anything. You may want to defragment him too. You've been defragmented. Thank you, David. Really appreciate that. I hope, I'd love to know what you're doing with it, with the index. $777 from the boys at RSS.com.
Bam!
Baller!
Wow!
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you, boys. That is, and girls, that is very much appreciated. Wow. Keeping us going yet another month. Love it.
Yeah. Ben says, to the best open source project. Thanks, Dave and Adam, for keeping podcasting human, creative, and independent to the team at RSS.com. Thank you, team.
Thank you very much. Yeah, team. Thanks, team.
Go, team. Let's see. What else we got? We got some boostergrams. Let's see. Ugly Quacking Duck. That's Bruce, 2222 through Podcast Guru. He says, keep going, Adam and Dave. We appreciate what you do. 73s from Southern Illinois. Yo, wet and cooler here.
73s, Kilo 5, Alpha, Charlie.
See. Oh, Franco. Speak of the devil, Franco. 10,000 sats through Castomatic. He says, I'd love to hear your thoughts on streaming sats versus boosts. Doesn't thanking boosters by name on the show while not mentioning streamers risk discouraging listeners from streaming? In my show, I thank both, and I'm seeing roughly 80% of sats coming from streaming and about 20% from boost. What's your experience and take on this?
Well, that's a good question. I don't have an answer. I don't think we've ever thanked streamers separately. I know Chris does, which I always appreciate. Yes. And he does get a good amount from streaming. Obviously,
as a group, though, right? Doesn't he say thank you for all the streamers and give a total?
Yeah, he does. You're right.
Yeah, I think Chris just like adds all of yours together because I've sent a couple small boosts and it's just like he'll just add 10 boosts together in streams.
Mm, yeah.
Which is one way of doing it.
Oh, so the answer is yes, of course we want names. Of course we want metadata. We have to go through the wall of pain. I don't think it'll take too long.
What is the wall of pain?
No metadata for a bit.
Wall of pain.
Yeah, the wall of pain.
But you could accumulate, you could get those numbers from Helipad, right?
Yes.
You could dump all that out.
Yeah, you could dump it out.
But Helipad requires running a node.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what we're trying to get away from. But
I guess Franco's running a node.
Just saying. I think he has Albie Hub in the cloud. He has.
Okay.
He mentioned he has some kind of something with the API. He's pulling it out.
Mm.
Oh, he's doing a custom job. I got you.
Yeah, he's you know, he's a doctor. He's in there fixing it.
He's got his scalpel, his tweezers, gauze. Yeah,
little
I mean, of all people to be afraid of a little blood in the water. Come on, Franco. We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay, brother. We're going to be okay.
Let's see. Oh, Comic Strip Blogger. The Delimiter. 14015 sats through Fountain. And CSB says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Today, I want to recommend a podcast called Happy to Help from the link happytohelp.buzzsprout.com. Quote, Happy to Help is a podcast about all things customer support, brought to you by the people at Buzzsprout. Join us on the second Tuesday of every month as Buzzsprout's head of podcaster success, Priscilla Brooke, dives into the world of customer support to make remarkable support the standard, not the exception. End quote. Yo, CSB the AI arch wizard. And we got some monthlies.
Thank you, CSB. That's beautiful.
We got Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Chris Bernardick, $5. Thank you, Chris. And Dreb Scott, $15.
Wow. Let me see. What is this? What is this picture that was posted here?
Oh, Lord.
Lyceum. I don't know, Lyceum. I'm not getting your boost over here, man.
True friend.
That's
true
so weird because I'm getting even two sat boosts from IPFS. So I don't understand. True fan stream from P. I don't know. I'm not seeing that here. Let me see. Let me look in streams for a second. Let me see if I'm seeing streams. Yes. No, I'm seeing. Oh, it actually says true fan stream from podcasting 2.0 240 live October 31st, 2025. Okay. So I do see them. I see them in helipad. Yes.
Oh, Sam just like when I posted the live thing on ActivityPub, he sort of reposted with his own live link off True Fans. That's cool.
His own live. Oh, so you can listen live on True Fans?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like that. It's almost like a link tree of all the different places you can, you know, that's pretty cool.
Well, thank you all very much for the value that you've sent, for the value that we provide with podcastindex.org. All of these funds go into the podcast index to keep all the machines running, to keep us safe and sound for at least a couple of years. So we appreciate that. Don't let up, though. Don't let up. It's been kind of, you know, like evened out with cost versus coming in. So we want to continue this to keep it going. Really appreciate all that. And Chad F., thank you so much, man, for all that you've been doing. I think everyone sees you. We all see your tests, and we all, you know, have been watching with bated breath of what's the next thing he's figured out. And that effort is really appreciated.
Yeah, it is. Well, thanks, Chad. The open source is people. And you it's
open just people source doing is stuff. People. Now there's another t-shirt. Open source is people. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, the Bitcoin stuff is my favorite part of podcasting 2.0. And I just kind of want to help expand that. So I'm here if anyone wants my opinion on this stuff.
You'll be happy to give it.
Yeah. I mean, someone's got to, but I mean, I see the problems and I do want to open it up, but also kind of want, I don't want all this just to turn into Spotify or Apple again. So any kind of pushback or rudeness is,
we understand. We get you. I'm stubborn.
But yep. This is cool. I mean, we just read off a bunch of boosts. People grab their phone, you know, sending us money. I just want more of that.
I agree, man. I agree. Thank you so much, brother. Brother Dave, thank you.
Yep.
Hey, happy Halloween to everybody if you celebrate that. It's pagan holiday. And thank you very much, Boardroom. Thank you for being there. And we will return next week on Friday for another board meeting right here on Podcasting 2.0. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Well, but they can all get a sandwich here at my house.